Beijing can't be seen to be acquiescing to large protesters, because that would probably be a political disaster for them.
Record numbers of protesters in Hong Kong send a message to Beijing. It's Tuesday, June 18th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, Australia, wary of the cyber battleground. Candidates line up for Taiwan's presidential election. New York's popular surf and turf. Energy-saving trees. Police learn new skills. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Following Sunday's mass protest in Hong Kong, a smaller group of protesters continued to call for the government to abandon plans for a new extradition law. Major roads in the city center were blocked, with many people calling on pro-Beijing Chief Executive Carrie Lam to resign. Early Monday, democracy activist Joshua Wong was released from prison for his role in the 2014 Umbrella Movement that sought for free selection of candidates to run the city. He also called for Lam to resign. Hong Kong's government has suspended action on the legislation, but has not canceled it. Protesters fear it would allow Hong Kong's government to send people to mainland China for trial under mainland laws, which are significantly different from those in the former British colony. Protesters say mainland courts are not fair and independent. Journalist Erin Hale is in Hong Kong and has been watching the protests over the past several days. She spoke with VOA's Kate Pound Dawson about the latest developments.
Today, there were several thousand protesters on the streets, kind of on and off around LegCo. They did manage to close off a few smaller streets. It stayed fairly small compared to yesterday. I think a lot of people are just very tired and regrouping. And it's been a long week. So the protesters who were out today were kind of more, I guess, the younger people who are a little bit more hardcore compared to yesterday, where yesterday it was like just a lot of normal people and families. So these are like the student activists, I think, who are mostly out today.
Joshua Wong, who had led the Umbrella Movement a few years ago, was just released from prison today. Does he have a role in these protests?
He hasn't yet, but I think his release has really recharged people. You know, he is possibly the most visible activist in Hong Kong, at least internationally, and, you know, he's very widely respected. So his timing was very good. And I think, you know, as I said, a lot of people are probably tired. They've really been pushing quite hard for a week now. Yeah, he's just kind of brought new energy and I think new optimism. And he's vowed to keep protesting until Carrie Lam resigns and the bill is withdrawn. So
now,
that's a big win for them.
Yeah, good to have them in there. Now, what's expected in the coming days?
Tomorrow, there's supposed to be an executive council meeting. So that would be in Carrie Lam's office. And I think after that, there are some reports that an announcement could be made. Perhaps they will announce that the bill has been withdrawn. A lot of sort of more analyst type people I spoke to today said that Carrie Lam is effectively dead politically because of this, but she has to wait to resign, basically to save face and for Beijing, because there's no really clear successor for her at this point, so they have to wait to find someone. And also, you know, Beijing can't be seen to be acquiescing to large protesters, because that would probably be a political disaster for them. So perhaps they'll give the protesters a little bit of what they want, which is to fully withdraw the bill. But as for Lam to go, she's probably going to wait about 6 or 7 months.
Journalist Erin Hale in Hong Kong speaking with VOA's Kate Pound Dawson. These are among some of the top Asia stories that you'll find right now when you go online and visit voanews.com. Chinese state media say Xi Jinping to visit North Korea this week. China says suspected blast caused minor quake near North Korea border. Duterte calls for calm over Chinese sinking of fishing boat. China and Pakistan traffickers force brides into prostitution. U.S. companies messaged Trump, don't expand China tariffs. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories, many more as well, on Facebook at VOA Asia and our website, voanews.com. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Australian military chiefs are warning of the threat from increasingly sophisticated cyber attacks. They say that while the dangers do not need a traditional military response, Australia must find new ways to combat them. From Sydney, Phil Mercer has more.
Propaganda isn't new, but the way it's delivered by technology is changing rapidly. Senior Australian Defence Force officers believe their nation is increasingly exposed to cyber attacks and misinformation. They've echoed concerns raised in the United States about the use of computer attacks and the manipulation of social and mass media during Russia's efforts to seize Crimea from Ukraine in 2014. General Angus Campbell is the chief of the Australian Defence Force.
In a world that's becoming more connected, these activities range from information campaigns, cyber operations and theft of intellectual property, to coercion and propaganda that subvert, erode and undermine, breaking international rules and norms, but ones that, in the eyes of the targeted state, fall short of requiring a war response.
China is suspected of orchestrating a surge of cyber attacks on Australian businesses. In December, Australia said its companies were among the global victims of an extensive campaign of cyber espionage attacks backed by the Chinese government. The confirmation came after the US Justice Department charged two Chinese nationals, alleging they carried out hacking on behalf of Beijing's Ministry of State Security. It was the first time Australia had explicitly blamed China for cyber crime. Earlier this year, computers at Federal Parliament in Canberra were hacked in what officials believed was the work of a foreign government. A recent report suggested that Australia needed to train 18,000 additional computer experts by 2026 to fight the cybersecurity wars. But there was a warning that at the present rate, the country was likely to fall short. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Happening now in Asia news, the Philippine president has called for calm amid an outcry after a Chinese vessel hit a Philippine fishing boat, which sank and put 22 fishermen in danger in the disputed South China Sea. President Rodrigo Duterte said the incident at Reed Bank was a, quote, little maritime accident between two vessels. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad to have you with us today on VOA Asia. The Taiwan ruling party's expected nomination this week of Beijing-wary incumbent President Tsai Ing-wen for a second term in office will kick off a campaign season highlighted by the island's sticky, increasingly strained ties with China. Tsai won't talk to officials in Beijing unless the communist government drops its demands that she identifies Taiwan as a part of a single China. The 62-year-old law scholar, first elected in 2016, is expected to run with the Democratic Progressive Party against an opposition Nationalist Party candidate who favors more engagement with Beijing. Their views would shape a campaign that will last until Taiwanese go to the polls in January. Tsai's primary win means the ruling party is confident she can win re-election. Some experts, like Liu Yi-jun, a public affairs professor, say... He's from Fo Guang University in Taiwan.
This will easily consolidate the kind of party unity within the DPP. And also, Han Kuo-yu and Guo Taiming, they will know that the forthcoming election is not going to be easy.
Many voters also want strong economic ties with China, seeking stronger economic ties to stimulate investment and trade with the $13 trillion Chinese GDP, but without political concessions. China today urges its 170-plus diplomatic allies to avoid free trade deals with Taiwan, which is hobbling economic growth. The Nationalists are scheduled to pick a candidate in July. The frontrunners include Han Kuo-yu, the populist mayor of the southern city of Kaohsiung, and Terry Guo, chairman of the giant consumer electronics assembler Foxconn Technology. Han has worked out a deal to sell local farm products to China. The Foxconn head builds gear such as Apple's iPhones at factories in China. China has always been a focus of politics in Taiwan, but this year the topic took on extra weight because of a landmark pro-unification speech by Chinese President Xi Jinping aimed at Taiwan. Taiwan's ties with the United States, a former Cold War foe of China, grew more intense last year under Xi and U.S. President Donald Trump. Coming up, Manhattan residents are treated to different wildlife. You're listening to VOA Asia.
For more on the stories you've heard on our radio programs, visit our website at voanews.com. That's where you'll find in-depth reports, related stories, videos, and more from our team of correspondents. Or take the news with you by downloading podcasts of your favorite VOA program. That's at voanews.com. Online news for a changing world.
This news from VOA Asia. Two strong earthquakes hit China's southwestern Sichuan province late Monday, with state media reporting at least one death. The U.S. Geological Survey said the first quake of 5.9 magnitude was followed shortly afterwards by a 5.2 quake in the same area. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories and great features. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues on sea and on land, New York City has countless attractions for its many visitors. Now there's a new and very unusual tourist draw, whale watching. It seems more and more whales are being spotted near Manhattan. Environmentalists say it's an encouraging sign the water is becoming cleaner. Anna Nelson has this story narrated by Anna Rice.
Unlikely neighbors, New York skyscrapers and large magnificent whales. But it's now reality in Manhattan. Thanks to much better water quality, scientists say the whales are swimming close to New York Harbor again after a century. They began returning a few years ago, attracting tourists and locals. That's when lifelong aquarium curator Paul Cisuerda founded the all-volunteer organization Gotham Whale. The group gathers information about these creatures and passes it along to scientists.
And we do that through citizen scientists. That could be anyone walking this boardwalk. If there was a whale breaching or feeding out here, and they were able to take a photograph to document that, that would go into our database as a data point.
Scientists use the information to track the whales' movement and make sure boats and vessels in the harbor slow down when the whales are most active. Some boats, like American Princess, carry tourists hoping to catch a glimpse or snap a picture of the creatures.
Oh, there he is!
Down there.
New whale photographs are compared to others in a catalog that scientists have kept for years. More than 105 have been identified so far. Experts say the animals' tails and fins are the best identifiers. Each is unique, like a person's fingerprint.
This fluke looks familiar. I know I've seen this whale before. It's showing that they're remembering this area as a food source, that they can get food here, and they're coming. Whoa!
Even though people are fascinated by whales, experts say many don't know much about them. They can live up to 200 years, go without sleep for 3 months, and go without food for up to 8 months. They can also hear each other from as far as 15 kilometers away. And thanks to hydrophones that record whales under the water, scientists have discovered there are at least 8 different species of whales swimming near the Big Apple.
Now, to be able to work with these animals that are free and happy and having them come back to the New York waters is just fantastic.
A mere stop on a long journey for the whales, but a powerful signal about nature's resilience.
From the water to dry ground, New York is embracing a new environmentally friendly, although not quite revolutionary, way to eradicate weeds in the city's Riverside Park. The Big Apple is welcoming 24 goats that will spend the summer in the park eating away invasive plants and poison ivy. Anna Rice returns to narrate this story by Elena Wolf.
Hey guys, this is Mac.
It's hard to believe these are just goats, not movie stars. There's a fenced-off path, park rangers here and there, people cheering and trying to snap a picture. Dan Gorodnik, president of New York's Riverside Park, was proud to officially introduce the herd to passersby. Goats, sent here from a farm on nearby Staten Island, are known for being very calm and obedient. And, what's more important, for always being ready to snack.
We also know that for them, this is like treating them to an all-you-can-eat buffet. It is a wonderful occasion. They've got the best views of the Hudson River.
Invasive plants, including poison ivy and mugwort, have not been trimmed here for decades. But what pesticides may not be able to conquer, goats will be happy to call lunch.
Any animal, a cow, a horse, a sheep that eats vegetation, they're eating the seeds. And not to sound silly, but when they poop, they're pooping little fertilizer pellets with seeds in them. Goats have a very rugged digestive system, and it kills the seeds. So they're not only clearing the ground, they're not replanting.
Larry Sehanek came up with this organic business idea some 14 years ago. So this is not the first business trip for his goats. He has sent them to states across the country, from California to Virginia. But his goats have never been to the Big Apple before.
People oriented it as gregarious as dogs. You could train a goat to do practically anything a dog does except bark. They live in a house if you let them.
A goat lover my whole life, and I know it's a bit strange, and now goats are in my backyard in New York City.
And other New Yorkers seem to love goats as well. Some do yoga with them, others feed their kids to the accompaniment of bleating.
Another goat volunteer. We're all here.
Goat tenders.
But finally, time to let the new Manhattan stars get to business. For the next 3 months, the goats will be working in Riverside Park, so close to visitors but untouchable, behind a special fence. And it seems they already feel at home in New York. After all, the city's nickname, Gotham City, means goat's town in Anglo-Saxon. For Elena Wolf in New York, Anna Rice, VOA News.
This news break from VOA Asia, Chinese President Xi Jinping will make a state visit to North Korea this week as U.S. talks with North Korea on its nuclear program are at an apparent standstill. Chinese state broadcaster CCTV said the trip will be the first by a Chinese president to North Korea in 14 years. All the big stories come your way throughout the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, a utility company that supplies electricity in the Washington area has given away 1,000 free trees to residential customers with the goal of saving energy. Pepco is one of dozens of companies in America working with the nonprofit Arbor Day Foundation on the plan. While the main goal is to conserve energy, officials say the trees will benefit homeowners and neighborhoods in other ways, too. Faiza El-Masri reports from Hyattsville, Maryland, in this story narrated by Faith Lapidus.
Gardening is Anka Meyer's favorite hobby, and she loves to plant trees in her yard.
Right now, they bloom, then they will be green, and then they have fall colors. So they change throughout the year, which is really nice. I mean, trees generate happiness.
Trees also improve air quality and reduce the effect of summer heat.
Trees make a huge difference in the climate around your house and also energy savings if they shade from the south side and the west side especially. What we notice is when we come in from the streets into our area, the temperature actually drops by several degrees, probably 5 to 10 degrees Fahrenheit because of the tree cover.
This is the second year Meyer is taking part in a program that gives her trees. Last year she got a red maple. Now she's getting ready to plant the dogwood she received through the Energy Saving Trees program, sponsored by the local utility company Pepco and the nonprofit Arbor Day Foundation.
They are native to this region, so they don't grow in the cold, and it's really a beautiful tree. getting a tree is actually, it's an investment, especially if you get trees that are disease resistant.
By serving as a windbreak in the winter and providing shade in the summer, the Arbor Day Foundation's Kristen Boske says trees can help homeowners conserve energy, save money, and more.
Providing a tree to homeowners can increase a property value by up to 18%.
Boske says the Arbor Day Foundation has partnered with Pepco since 2011 to help its customers reduce energy costs, as well as bring an environmental outlook to the communities they serve. And she expects the initiative to grow.
The Arbor Day Foundation just launched an initiative along with our partners called the Time for Trees Initiative. Through that initiative, we will be planting 100 million trees and inspiring 5 million tree planters around the globe to bring trees to communities, to forests, to everywhere that trees are needed.
According to Pepco spokesperson Christina Harper, the Energy Saving Trees program has grown more popular over the last 8 years.
About 10,500 homeowners have benefited from this important partnership, and we've seen that over 17,000 trees have been planted. A properly planted tree can save homeowners about 15% to 30% on their energy bills.
Tree lover Anka Meyer encourages others to plant trees.
Try to find out which trees are native in your area. Don't plant anything that is not adapted to it. Look where you plant. Don't plant it too close to the house.
That's the impact the program organizers hope to have, inspiring more people around the globe to plant trees. For writer Faiza El-Masri in Hyattsville, Maryland, Faith Lapidus, VOA News.
Autism disorders are becoming better understood and, according to the Centers for Disease Control, more common. VOA's Kevin Enix tells us that's why it's become more important for law enforcement to learn how to understand and respond to people with autism and other disorders.
This is what happened last year when police in Graham, Texas, encountered 19-year-old Michael Moore, who has a high-functioning form of autism.
Put your hands behind your back. I'm sorry.
He was playing in the backyard, and what started out as a simple neighbor calling in with a complaint saying that he was throwing rocks at their fence escalated into him being put in a chokehold, thrown to the ground, and tased twice.
To avoid scenes like these, police in Chicago are getting virtual reality training on how to deal with autistic and schizophrenic people. The training module was created by the company Axon, famous for creating the taser. Axon CEO Patrick Smith says he wants to teach police how to better respond to people who may not be able to communicate effectively because of disorders like autism.
And some of the more traditional police tactics that you might use when you're dealing with a criminal can actually be counterproductive when you're dealing with somebody who's in a mental health crisis. So by bringing these experts together and using this technology as a new medium, we can begin to train officers in these more delicate situations.
David Kieran with the advocacy group Autism Speaks says it's a problem that is slowly being addressed.
Yeah, I think there is a knowledge gap, and the good news is that more and more law enforcement agencies are recognizing that.
Flashing police lights and yelling can actually make things worse with dealing with someone who has autism. Smith says police are learning how to recognize the problem and handle it more effectively.
The main thing is, I think, for officers to be able to identify when they're dealing with somebody who's really struggling internally and to sort of understand that in that case, disengagement and containment of the situation can be a better choice than trying to push your way through with more assertive tactics.
The U.S. government estimates that about 1 in 40 people have an autistic disorder, so these interactions will happen. But they don't have to turn out this way.
Had they taken, 5 minutes to come knock on my door to verify that, yes, he did live here and I was his mom, they could have avoided all that.
Axon says they will make their training module available to police departments around the country. Kevin Enix, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find us online on iTunes and SoundCloud, streaming daily on VOA Asia Facebook, and our website, voanews.com. You'll also find us on the radio throughout Asia. Great radio stations like PSU Radio, Patani FM, 107.25 at Prince of Songkla University in Thailand. Thanks to everyone there who's tuned in today. Our thanks always go out to our director, Tracy Carter, and our engineer, Nashwan Kali. Managing Editor Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Skylar Ogden, Ira Melman, Keith Lane, and Anna Cook. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. Have a nice day.